we went through the Mitzudos, Rashi, the Malbim, and the Radak, and we were in the middle of doing the Maimori Chazal. Okay, and we started with the Pasuk Tzar. We really need the Maimori Chazal. Let's do in the Rabbi. Let's just finish up quickly Pasuk Gimel on page 844 on the very, very bottom, in the middle, right in the middle of the Likutei Shas in Midrashit HaTanoim. We're up to Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Okay, we're up to Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Okay, one second. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, it's in the middle of that section, on the bottom of page 844, where it says Likutei Shas. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Emos Ayovat Shmam Shel Elu Amolek. When will Amolek be destroyed? Amolek represents our bitter enemies, our bitter arch enemies. Very appropriate for today. Today is, again, Chof Sivan, where our bitter enemies inflicted enormous harm upon us. When will be Avodah B'shosh Sheteoker Avodah Zorah He V'Yovdeha? When idolatry will be uprooted, He it V'Yovdeha, its servants, those worshippers, V'Hei Hamokom Yichidi V'Olam. And Hashem will be alone in this world. The whole world will acknowledge there's only one God. That's when Hashem will destroy Amalek. Now, this medrash over here obviously is very abstract. It's a mechilta. What exactly is it saying? Of course, Amalek will be destroyed. Okay, it's not exactly so clear what this means. I don't know. Let's just leave it with that. Let's go further.
I understand.
You have to be very precise in what it says. When will the name Shel Elu, their name? What do you mean their name?
It means Amalek.
Zecher Amalek. So
that's what it's referring to in this sentence.
So when will this happen? Okay, so when will their Shimon B'shosh she'te'oker Avodah Zarah, when Avodah Zarah ceases to exist, he the Oivdeha v'hei ha'mokom yithidi bo'elam. Now let's understand something. Amalek. Are Amalek believers in any God? Think about this. Amalek, what exactly is Amalek? I don't need to tell me the Nazis. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam Zizikam, did they believe in anything? What did they believe in?
Money.
What was their religion? They believed in God?
More or less pagans.
They had a religion, the Nazi
religion? No.
What?
No, not really.
So they were, they believed in the Big Bang? I mean, what were they? They were atheists?
They didn't get that far.
You don't hear about any, their religion. You don't, I don't know, they never talk about this. What
know it wasn't Christianity, that's for sure.
So what was it? Did the Nazis celebrate
people
any?
People say it was a form of paganism, but it wasn't a formal religion. It was statism, okay? It was the National Socialists. It was a state.
I thought they were Christians.
So Marx says they were Christians, but they believed in God. They believed in Yashka.
No.
They believed
Christians.
They had Christmas, right? They are famous pictures. Of them celebrating Christmas.
Yeah.
They have Christmas trees. What was that all about?
It wasn't about religion, that's for sure. They're such hypocrites. They're killing everyone and yet they're celebrating Christmas. No.
I don't know.
It wasn't a spiritual thing.
It doesn't seem to us that even if they had some affiliation with any type of religion, they were religious at all. They believed in nothing but themselves. So what this metaphor here is saying is when and we look at Amalek, as we look at the Nazis as an extension of Amalek. Whether they are Amalek, they're not Amalek, they certainly fit the mold. They certainly took on the ideology of what Amalek is in the Torah. Okay, whether you want to tell me their blood descendants, that's irrelevant. They represent Amalek. What does it say in the Torah about Amalek? V'lo yorei Elokim. This is their religion. Their religion is not to fear God. Zochor eis asher osa l'cho Amalek baderech b'tzeschem mimitzrayim v'yizanev b'cho kol hanecha sholim acharecha. The ata oyef v'yogeh. You were tired and weak. V'lo yorei elokim. According to the Pshuta Shol Mikra, there's a machlokes upon who's the subject of the words v'lo yorei elokim. But the Pshuta Shol Mikra, the subject of the words v'lo yorei elokim refers to Amalek. That's how the Torah describes Amalek. Now, people who worship other gods, so they fear other gods. They don't fear Hashem, but they fear other gods. Or you know what you can even say? I mean, this is a wild thing to say. This is Jewish. If someone fears something, the word Elohim, we, of course, in the Torah use it in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Elohim literally means authority. Ad ho Elohim yavo devar shenehem. If two people get into a fight, into a dispute, the pasuk says they shall go to ad ho Elohim. In that context, in the pasuk, it doesn't mean go to God; it means go to court. If there is authority in the world, that already puts people in their place. And it says it's if there's authority. It says in Pirkei Avos, if there is no fear of authority in this world, one man will literally swallow up another man. We live in a society where our mayor has defunded the police department by $1 billion. Why? I don't know why. So what does that send a message? No more Moira. There's no more. There's nothing to fear. No one's going to come. No one's going to prosecute you. No one's going to arrest you. There's no Moira. There's no fear. So what happens in society? Ish esrei eyu chayim below cannibalism. You wonder why? What? Anarchy. You wonder why the crime rate has skyrocketed in every single city where they have defunded the police. And I'm shooting ad ma'ot. Chazal. You don't have to never drush. It's explicit in Chazal. There's no moira. So it says in the pasuk, "Bar Amalek v'lo yorei Elokim." The pshuto shel mikra, they did not fear God, our God, Ribono shel Olam, the one who created this world, who created them. But if you want to darshan, you want to wax homiletic. If you want to darshan, it means v'lo yorei Elokim. They did not fear authority. There is absolutely, don't learn, translate the word Elohim to mean God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elohim means authority. There is no fear of authority. When there is no fear of authority, you can do whatever you want. You can commit genocide. You can wipe off 6 million people off the face of the earth and go and have a good night's sleep. Nothing. Absolutely no conscience. Nothing. V'lo yorei, they did not fear Elohim. Authority. If they had a religion, that would be half the battle would have been won.
William Bratt, the former police commissioner, said that the police department keeps the forces, the friction of forces in society in balance. If it wasn't for the police, they keep them balanced.
If you don't have a gun,
the government keeps it in balance.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam. One of the senators recently proposed, part of this mishagas of defunding the police, that all of the Secret Service officers who work for the president should not carry weapons. No weapons. Their goal, he said, I think on the Senate floor, their role is to take the president when there's danger. They should just take him away. They should remove him from the danger. But they don't have to go and have weapons to kill anyone. They don't have to have weapons. Just take him away. The fact that an officer has a weapon, that's the koyach. It's the weapon. The weapon is the moira. Amalek moira ish es chayim bilo'o. Amalek, in addition to the pshuta shel mikra, it also means v'lo yorei elokim, they had no fear of anything. If Amalek had a religion, even a religion that was total nonsense, if in their mind there's such a principle that there's accountability, there's a purpose, there's a fear of punishment of Gehenna or some accountability, you know, already half the battle has been won. They may be misguided. Their God may have told them to kill all the Jews, but people who have a conscience, people who have some sense of value, there's someone to talk to. There's someone to deal with. You know, before the Christians, they committed the most horrific crimes against us, they gave us a choice. You know, if you want, you can convert. There were disputations. Prove your religion. If you want, you can convert. There's a conversation. And then they commit their horrible crimes. Then they murder us. But there is some type, some semblance of, at least make-believe, some semblance of fear of something. But Amalek is zero. So the question over here, so this is a very deep Chazal. Chazal over here says the question, when will Amalek be eliminated? When will these people who have no fear of anything, they have no moral conscience, when will they be eliminated from this world? And the Medrash says something very shocking. Their existence is rooted in the existence of other religions who do fear something, but don't fear Hashem. There is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, and then there are misguided or wicked nations in the world that do fear, have gods. They create for themselves a religion. They worship. They worship stone. They worship wood. They worship the stars, the moon. They create a fictional religion. The Oyvdei Avodah Zarah. This Medrash here is telling us that is the lifeblood of Amalek, who fears nothing. Now, why should that be? You have to go ask a good psychologist to explain. You would think that even if all of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, all of these false religions would be eliminated, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, and V'chol HaNilvim Olav, that they will all just one day disappear from the face of the earth, people, the nation of Amalek, fears nothing. They're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They're not worshipping the stars, the moon, themselves. They're not worshipping anything. They will still exist because their values in life have nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. And this Medrash is a very, very telling. It's a very powerful Medrash where it says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Emosa Yoivat Shimon Shel Elu, referring to Amalek, who don't believe in anything, who are the essence of the Lo Yorei Elohim. They do not fear authority, period. No authority. Not the sun, not the moon, not global warming, not politics, economics. They fear nothing. They don't care about anything. When will they cease to exist? So it says a shocking answer. Bisha'o shete oker avodah zarah hi v'oivdeha v'yehei hamakom yichidi bo'olam usehei malchuso le'olam ul'yolmei olamim. When all of the idolaters will cease to exist. Amazing. So Amalek's only opening in this world is the living of the coattails of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why should that be so? Obviously, it has to be that there is some connection. Those people who worship false gods, they are creating in this world an opening of not fearing anything. Somehow they're connected. Somehow, people who worship idols, to a degree, they don't fear anything either. They don't feel authority because deep down, the person really knows, deep down, that there is a creator. It's undeniable. Person in the innermost portion of his neshama, every living creature senses there's a creator. He rejects it. He can't deal with it. He can't deal with the obligation that comes with acknowledging the creator. So what do? You don't want to just... You channel that fear into creating a different religion. But in essence, the creation of another religion is really just a rejection of authority, period. Every religion...
And worship of self.
Worship of self, but that's also worship of self. Creating is also their rules.
Creating a deity that reflects one's own desires.
So what in essence is the person doing? He's coming to reject authority. It's just a more balanced, nuanced approach. Amalek has no shame. They have no shame. We don't have any fear of authority, period. Do whatever we want in this world.
Was there a structure in Amalek itself? Did they have their own laws in this society?
I don't know. But obviously, you have to have some type of system to exist. You know,
just fear of being physically abused. That's
what maybe, whatever. But Amalek represents the least of the least. It represents the lo yorei Elokim. They do not possess a fear of authority, period. Now, the whole world, to a degree, really does the same thing. All this minor chazal appears to be teaching us something very profound. All religions in this world are really a product of a desire to be like Amalek, v'lo yorei Elokim, not to fear authority. They can't go so far. They're not willing to go so far like Amalek to outright reject all authority. They have to accept some semblance of authority. So what do? They create a different religion, a religion that doesn't make demands upon them to the degree that what Hashem, what they realize to be correct. To recognize Hashem as God, you have to conform. We can't go so far, but we don't want to reject authority 100%, so they go somewhere in the middle. That is what is the, really the same exact thing as what Amalek is. It's the same thing as Amalek. It's just that Amalek has gone to the extreme. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eliminate all of these religions, all of these will come to acknowledge, you can't do that. There's no such thing as just rejecting authority. Then Amalek has nowhere to hide. Amalek's, the only way they are able to hide their wickedness in full, thorough rejection of authority is because they're hiding under other religions in this world that also partially reject authority. So it's like a steps. If you have someone in the middle, so then you're able to get away with rejecting everything entirely. But when these religions will be exposed as fraud, and the only truth is Hashem, then Amalek, that is the complete diametric opposite, 180 degrees is absolutely zero, then they can exist. That's where this medrash appears. There's something very deep going on over here in this medrash. Because you have to appreciate that. Yeah.
I think that there is fear. They created a new fear. Like the Soviet Union was afraid from the KGB. And the storm was also a fear there. Everybody was terrible thing.
Public opinion. The squad.
And the Nazis also. They were scared to death. But they denied the old fear of God. There is their own authority. It's a new authority.
So you're saying Elokim means divine. Okay, that's the Pashup Shat. You're saying the Pashup Shat of Lo Yor Elokim, Elokim is Kodesh. It's a holy word. When a Sofer writes the word Elokim, the halacha is, there's a whole list of words, whole list of shemos in the Torah, that when the Sofer writes these shemos, he must say, L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. There's no question that when the Sofer writes in the Parshas Kiseitse, the Lo Yorei Elokim, he must first say, L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. That's a Dover Pash. I'm suggesting a Jewish. Besides the Pash of Shad, that they don't fear Hashem, they don't fear God, the essence of these people are, they don't fear anything. They don't have a moral conscience. Nothing. They don't fear God, they don't fear man, they don't fear their own moral conscience, the repercussions of what they're doing. Nothing. They're not human beings. They're animals. Nothing. How do they get away with this? How are these people able to survive in this world without having any fear of authority? The answer is they hide. They attach themselves to the coattails of all of the religions of the world. The religions of the world are somewhere in between. They fear authority, but they have rejected authority. By not accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by creating new false religions, in essence, they're rejecting authority. So here we have Klal Yisrael, a full acceptance of authority. The Umay Sa'olam, which is a wishy-washy. Oh, there's someone that's wishy-washy, so we can be zero. We can go and we can hide and have no fear. But when you take away this middle element of people that are a little here, a little there, you cannot allow it to exist in this world an entity that has no fear of authority, period. That's when it will cease to exist, Shem Chol.
If that's so, what is the battle? It's close, and Hashem is going to go to war with them. Which them?
Amalek. Amalek, yes.
Yeah, but then that doesn't that leave the ones in the middle according to your line of thinking?
Well, I'm reading what it says over here. Look what it says over here. It says, Amosai, Yoivan, there's going to be a process. There's going to be a process. Amosai, Yoivan, Shman, Shel, Elu. According to the, obviously there are many Mamar Chazal and they don't necessarily agree with each other, and each one has a different dimension as to what's going to be, but this Mamar Chazal here says that there's a process. The process is, in order to succeed in uprooting Amalek, you first have to uproot the false religions. That's what it says. B'shaw, when will they be eliminated? When will it be fulfilled? Timchazich Amalek B'shaw, Shete Oker. First is Avod Zara, idolatry. People that are bowing down to stone and wood and the sun, the moon, the stars, science, and all the Kol Hanil V'molav, V'oivdeha, and all the practitioners of these religions. And then anyone who wants to be religious will acknowledge there's God, there's one God. Whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, whether you observe the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach, or you observe the Tayav mitzvahs, then Amalek, who has no fear of anything, they're atheists. They're worse than atheists. An atheist, at least, probably, you know, there are a lot of atheists that claim they have morals, they claim at least, they make believe. These people have no fear of Elohim, no fear of any authority. They have no moral conscience. How can you go commit genocide? Nothing. It's mind-boggling, the Holocaust. You know, the older you get, the more you think about the Holocaust. It's just mind-boggling.
So you're saying that goes to battle against the religions and then against Amalek?
Yes, because Amalek's lifeblood, what is giving Amalek fuel to exist? Where is their, how are they able to, how are people in this world able to survive without having any fear of authority? The answer
by
is...
by imposing fear on others.
No, the others wouldn't tolerate. The others would not tolerate their influence. They would say, you crazy people. You have no. You're not humans. So lock them up.
It's physical power. They're afraid they're going to be killed by these people, so they have to follow them.
So if the world wanted, they will get together and they will conquer. No one has ultimate power. If someone is a minority, there'll be a way. If there's a will, there's a way. The answer is because the people who are the people who are fearing, they also have no fear of authority. They also don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the other religions, every religion in this world is a rejection of Hashem. The person's deep neshama acknowledges there's a creator. There's a creator that makes demands. There are demands upon me to observe the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach. I don't want to. I want to engage in Gilui Arayos, in Shlichas Damim, in Eved Menachai, in Birchas. I want to engage in all, I have a lot of fun in this world. If I acknowledge that there is a God, I can't do that. So what do? You create a religion that permits you to do certain things and forbids you to do other things. And Mars, the only reason why Klal Yisrael bow down to the egg and worship the ego was because they want to engage in Gilui Arayos. The secret to the ego was the after Vayigvesu Parsha, Vayar Moshe Esa'am Boicha L'mishpachosam. After the Chet, after Matan Torah, they come to Har Sinai, Hashem gives them the Torah, and Hashem tells them the law everything. Moshe told them, gave them a crash course in Judaism. And everything is fine, fine. We'll have kosher food, we'll have all of these festivals, we'll do everything you want, fine. There was one thing they couldn't live with. You cannot marry this woman. And guess what? The woman that you're married to, you're not allowed to marry her. You have to get divorced. You cannot marry this. Your marital status is problematic. That is something that they could not live down. That was the hardest thing for them to accept from all of the Tayyag mitzvahs. And the Pasuk says in the last week's parasha, Vayar Moshe Esa'om, Boiche L'mishpichosav. They were actually crying. They were in tears that they would have to separate from their wives, and they acknowledged that a certain groups of noshim that they would not be able to be with. And that was very painful for them. They accepted it though, but it didn't go away. The pain and the anger and the frustration, it simmered, it percolated. And when it came time, when the Erev Rav made the Egel, what was the Egel all about? The Chazal say all this. They made the Egel in the back of their minds. This is a Chazal. You know, there are many dimensions. Obviously, there are many dimensions to what the Egel was all about. But one of the purposes of making it was to create, just to make to fine-tune Judaism. A new version of Judaism, which has all of the Tayag mitzvahs, except for Arayos. Except the woman that I was married to until now, in this new version of really this new version, I'm allowed to remain married to her. And if I want to marry this woman, I can marry her as well. We're going to create a new religion that is rooted in Judaism, rooted in the Luchos, and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. There were a few little exceptions. What are the exceptions? All the exceptions were in order to engage in illicit relations. This is a Maimar Chazal. The only reason why they made the Egel is to give license. So what is all that? Every religion is about. That's how every religion works. Every religion acknowledges.
In fact, the pagan religions, the ceremonies were often accompanied by, you know, they had the women.
Illicit relations. All of these things. That's every religion. It is a need. There is a need to do something, to give yourself pleasure, whatever the reasons are, and the current religion does not allow this. So we have to create a new religion to give it legitimacy.
Maybe Judaism was the new religion to create this idea of illicit relations. Maybe there was no prohibition prior to that.
There wasn't. They were engaged. Exactly the problem, because in Egypt they were engaged in all these things. They were married in Mitzrayim. If you read the history of ancient the dynasties, the Egyptian dynasties, they married brothers and sisters, married each other.
It's amazing that this was able to that the Jewish people were able to accept this idea.
It is for 40 days. You know what's so amazing about Judaism? Is that we didn't worship the Egel for 40 days. The greatest part of Judaism is that, could you imagine, Klal Yisrael did not make trouble for 40 days? It's not a chiddush they made the Egel 40 days later. That goes without saying. How long is it going to live? But 40 days, go try to teach a class. You give a Rebbe, gives him a class. You try to keep the class in order for one day. Well, it's not a chiddush that after 40 days they worshiped the Egel. The chiddush was that for 40 days they didn't worship the Egel. It simmered. It was a very hard pill to swallow. Every religion follows the same pattern. A person's moral conscience realizes that if I accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I have to behave a certain way. I have to do His will.
Right. So did the behavior a cover of sanctity?
Legitimacy.
Yeah.
The creation of a religion is a legitimacy of doing what I want and rejecting what Hashem wants.
In Mitzrayim, the Jews were committing
yes, Yes, they were married. They were married to their relatives. They were married to their uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, children.
Yaakov married
two sisters. Yaakov married two sisters. What more do you want than that? Some said that's why. That's some Ramban says that is why. That is why Rachel died before Yaakov returned to his father. He was coming home, and the Holy Land Eretz Yisrael could not tolerate Yaakov Avinu being married to two sisters, which explicitly is forbidden in the Torah. The Torah says it was before Matan Torah, obviously, but it's forbidden. And what about Yehuda and Tamar? Yehuda, this goes on and on. But every religion, in essence, is a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not a full rejection. Every religion, to assert every, we talk about Christianity, we talk about Islam, there is an acknowledgement of God. There is an acknowledgement of God. It's a perverted acknowledgement of God. Why? These people who are descendants of Abraham and Yitzchak could not go so far, their moral conscience could not go so far to reject the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They cannot. Yishmael, Islam, who we assume to be those who have accepted the ideology of Yishmael ben Avram, whether they're blood descendants or not is irrelevant. These are people who have embraced Yishmael ben Avraham. They could not go so far to reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they have to have their seven virgins. They have to have their seven virgins. No, that's the Olam Haba is all about 70. What, 70? 70 virgins? And they have to have practiced polygamy. They have to do all these crazy things. So, but Hashem says you can't do this. You can't do this. So Hashem will make a deal. The art of making a deal. Let's make a deal. We'll accept you, but not 100%. Well, there are things that we can't accept. So we'll make a new religion, and you'll be part of it. You'll be part of the new religion. It's a cover, but it's not a full outright rejection. They fear God, whatever that means. To some, they include him. He's included in the religion. He's part of the book. But you know, on our terms, Christianity is the same thing. Christianity, dear, what do they really reject? Christianity? Don't murder. Al charbucha tichya. How could Hashem know we that Esav is the son of Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak? When Noshim, I don't know, they have a big problem with Noshim also, the Christians, but their main problem is murder? You're telling us we can't commit murder? Al charbucha tichya. This is what we enjoy, sport, the gladiators. Okay, this is the Roman. The Colosseum, this is what it's all about. Murder! How could you tell us not to commit murder? So you know what, we'll make a new religion. We'll make a new religion called Christianity. We can't reject you, Hashem, because we just can't. We're B'nai Yitzchak, we can't. But we're going to create a new religion in order to allow ourselves to do what we need to do. We did the same thing! What was the Egel? Egel is exactly the same thing. Hashem, we love you. We're going to do everything better than the Yishmaelim, better than the Christians. We're going to do 612 mitzvahs. But this thing about arayos, that we can't marry our relatives, you know, Vayar Moshe Esa'om Boiche L'mishbechoisav. They were crying. This they could not accept. They accepted it for 40 days, but it simmered. It simmered, it hurt them. And they didn't do worship yet. When they saw the Erev Rav, who couldn't deal with it, and they made this new religion, the rest of Klal Yisrael's 3 million people were tolerant. Tolerant of this group of 3,000, because deep within them, it was very painful to accept the prohibition of forbidden relations. And so now, What about Amalek? Amalek, they get the cake. They get the prize. Because you know what they did? They said, Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't want anything. We reject everything. The Lo Yorei Elokin, we don't want to know from nothing. We'll do whatever we want. We reject arayos, we reject murder, we reject kosher food. Everything we reject. How do you allow a human being to walk the face of the earth that has no fear of authority. Zero. This is not a human being. This is an animal in disguise. What?
They killed each other. They would not.
Yeah, they killed each other. That's right. You're dealing with Amalek. Well, they have rachmanis on each other. You go read some history. They killed each other. Not even the Nazis. The Nazis, how they treated each other is unbelievable. There was rivalry. They had no morals among themselves. They committed to each other horrific crimes because of kavod and rivalry, power. You see some of these little clips and films where they did amongst themselves the rivalry. So they reach. How do you allow a creature to walk the face of the earth that has no fear of anything? This is a danger to this world. You know what their answer is? Because these religions are doing the same thing. They're just more sophisticated. They just cover their tracks. They created a religion to allow themselves to engage in their desires. So Amalek just went to the next step. They went one more madrega, they rejected everything. But if you would eliminate the middleman, you would eliminate these religions who are hiding, who are legitimized, so then what do you got left? What do you got left? You have a world that acknowledges a creator, and doesn't mean you observe tayag mitzvahs. The Torah doesn't make such great demands on Yom HaSa'ilah. I mean, the zayin mitzvah de noyach, you know? You just have to modify Hollywood, make a couple of rules in Hollywood, what kind of films you can make. instead of everything being out of the Zerg, the Rashi Chassadim, just try. Just some modifications, so you have a world that acknowledges HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have some creatures that look like human beings who have no fear of anything. They can no longer exist. The world would not tolerate them anymore. There's no cover. There's nowhere for them to hide in. The only Amalek today is only hiding under the coattails of, or under the blanket of. Of the false religions, of the leaven.
Amalek believes in luck.
In luck, mazel. In okay, the
card, they're very light, you know.
And put in it. People
have
poor and
have
the law. Real
belief is in luck. That's it.
There's no fear of authority. Okay, whatever. They obviously have something that's going on in their head, how they live their life. But the Pasuk tells us, the Torah defines the essence of Amalek, v'lo yorei Elokim, which al derech pshat means they don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the fact that it's selected with Elokim, not Hashem. Look at Avraham, this is one famous Jewish. When Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, what does it say? What did the Malach say to Avraham Avinu? Ato yodad ki yorei, no, it says, es ki yorei Elokim at, you can see Elokim also, Elokim. One of the famous psukim of Yirah Shemayim, it says Hashem. It says Yud Kei Vav Kei. There is fearing the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Made by Yosef, it says Es Halokim Ani Yorei. That's it says. You have to go back and study all the psukim. There are different psukim, but Ishei HaTanach. The Ishei HaTanach, when they make mention of fearing Hashem, is Yosef said to Paru numerous times. As Halokim, they said to Eishes Potifar. Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, that is fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elokim, we use it more often than not in reference to Hashem, but Elokim literally means authority. Authority. If you have a human being that has some semblance of authority, half the battle is gone. You know, in the military, that's what it's all about, with fear authority. Okay, I told you that. The son of David's on Yitzchak, he went to the Marines. His parents were not exactly too happy with this, but he went to the Marines. He came, no, this kid, I don't really know the family, but the other kids, some of the kids in the family, they need some help in the world of discipline. But this guy, he comes back, he sits at the table, when he talks to his father, he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then when they were serving, they said, how come you're not eating? His brother told me they were serving on Shabbos. How come you're not eating? I can't eat until my mom sits down and also eats. I can't eat. Wow. Where did he get that from? He didn't get that from yeshiva, that's for sure. He got that from the army. Okay, in the Chaim, I don't know if in the Chaim, when we were in high school, we had a teacher, who's a great teacher, he was computers, he taught us computers. He was a really good guy. This is, he was not Jew, not Jewish. And he was begging us, all the guys in the yeshiva, the best thing you can do for yourself is we should all go join the army. Join and go to boot camp for 1 year. He says, you'll learn discipline. You'll be able to use this in your religion. You'll be such good people. You just need to go 1 year. Join the Marines. Go to boot camp. He went to boot camp. He was in the army. He was a soldier.
They were probably stepping all over him.
No, they weren't. He was good. He knew he was good. He knew he was extremely disciplined, and he saw right away that the yeshiva of him, yeah, the potential is just enormous. They just need some discipline. And you're not going to get discipline in this place. Discipline, you go to the army, they're going to teach you discipline. There's no tolerance for nonsense. What goes on over there? I know someone who works in a firm, an accounting firm, I'm not even sure, accounting firm, the law firm. So he told me they hired for as the manager, someone who is a high-ranking officer in the army, and he literally runs the office like it's the army, and even the time at 00 at 00 23 hours there's a meeting in this way, and everyone, when he walks around the building, he talks to everyone, yes sir, and he gives orders to people. It's so ingrained in him, the discipline. The discipline, the work ethic of the military, he can't get out of his blood. And the people who all these accountants and these secretaries, they're so scared of him because he's so tough. And he gives orders and he demands respect. Everything has to be al ha-seder, and he's phenomenal because he gets the place in order, and things get done. Things move along. It's an incredible thing. Now, you can be a perverted set of values, that's a very big problem. But if there's at least there's something to work with, then it can be channeled to fear Hashem. If you're dealing with a person that's no fear of authority at all, this is not a human being. This is the worst of the world. Below Yorei Elohim. These people, they have no fear of authority, period. And they over here it says, when will these creatures cease to exist? When the religions, the false religions, cease to exist. Because the MS is, every religion, false religion in this world is what's fueling that. It's also a denial of authority. It's not an outright, open, blatant, explicit denial of full authority. It's a partial denial of authority. Just a little bit. Every religion has needs. They need to murder. They need to engage in arayos. So they have to make some adjustments. They have to bring in some other elements, but they're not outright denial of God. But they're in denial. They have rejected. That element of rejection is what gives Amalek its koyach to be in full rejection. And when these religions will cease to exist, so what do you got left? You have black and white. You have black and white. You have a world that acknowledges Hashem. There's no rejection. The world that acknowledges Hashem will not tolerate a creature that is an outright rejection of HaKadosh, outright rejection of authority. That's what this message appears to be saying. Let's go further. Now we go to the next, the last measure of the year.
By the way, that's
it, okay, yeah.
You should also include the non-Orthodox sects.
Judaism, also reject. Conservative Judaism.
Only keep what's convenient.
What's convenient. Conservative, Reform, egalitarian, all these other flavors of Judaism, it's also the same thing. It's
the most Orthodox there's rejection, of course.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, that's
every
not nice to say.
Every
I don't think they can agree to that.
Rejection is a,
Okay, you're right. Everything in life is very complicated. Everything is very complicated. Where do you draw the line? At what point in time do you say you orthodox? Orthodox means you fully accept, right? You fully accept. Now, in 2021, it's not the same as the year 1000, obviously, you know. So how do we observe? So here you have many varieties, many flavors. At what point in time are you going to say you've crossed the line? At what point? Conservative, forget it. You're gone, right? They're gone. Now, open orthodoxy was the, you don't talk about this anymore. It used to be the big deal was open orthodoxy. Open orthodoxy, you know, in the beginning didn't seem very threatening. But then they some of, not all, they're a very complicated group of people. Some of them have really, really crossed the red line. Some of them. And they reject the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and that's really no different than being conservative. And some of them are starting to backtrack. I don't know. Obviously, this is a very complicated thing. Each his own. Okay, let's go further. That concludes this section. Now we go to Pasuk Dal. Now we're going to suffer a few minutes. The next section. The next section of the Pesukim here is the Om B'Raglo B'Yamahu. We're talking about Mashiach. Mashiach now is a very beautiful Pesukim where we lay these Pesukim on this is the Haftarah of the first day of Sukkot. The Omdu Raglov Bayamu Al Har HaZeisim. Who's Raglov? Whose legs are we referring to? Referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Pshim Shol Mebah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand. This world is the Hadoim Raglov. Hashemayim, Shemayim la Hashem. It says, Hashemayim kisi, Hashemayim kisi, the Oretz Hadoim Ragli. The Shemayim is my throne, and this earth is my footstool. Now, a footstool, as far as I know, is where you relax, you rest. You do not stand on a footstool. You'll break it. Okay, you go into the furniture store and you stand on the footstool, they're going to throw you out. You don't stand. So this pasuk is a very disturbing pasuk. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes to this world, Hashem does not stand on this world. Hashem is Yoshev al Kisei. Hashem is Yoshev on the Kisei Rachamim in Shemayim. Whatever this, these are all just words. I don't know what this means. Hashem has a throne. Hashem has also a mobile, a Merkava. Hashem has a Kisei, and Hashem has a Merkava. The Kisei is when you are at home, you're relaxing, lahavdil elef alfei havdolos, with all of the exponents you can possibly add. It's the Kisei is the Oval Office. The Merkava is Air Force One. Air Force One can only stay in the air that much time. Air Force One eventually has to come down. They may have technology where they can refuel it in the air, but eventually Air Force One is going to have to come and land somewhere. So, you know, the president has the beast. Have you ever seen the beast? The beast is quite a vehicle. Probably the most expensive limousine in the world. But I don't think the president of the United States enjoys sitting in the beast more than an hour or two. At most, it's not very claustrophobic to sit in this bulletproof tank. It looks like a limousine for a prolonged period of time. That's Hashem's Merkava. The Kisei is his home. But Hashem has a footstool where he allows his feet to rest. And that's the earth. Hashemayim Kisei V'Oretz Hadon Ragloi. Ragli Ragloi. And here it says something very, very disturbing. The Omdu Raglov. Hashem is going to stand. Bayomahu Al Har HaZeisim. Asher Al Pnei Yerushalayim, Mikedem. Mikedem means from the east side. Har HaZeisim is on the east side. The other way, Har HaZeisim, you're on the opposite side of the Kosel HaMaravi. The Kosel HaMaravi is the completely opposite side of where Har HaZeisim is. And when Hashem stands on the east side of Yerushalayim, which here we call the Pnei Yerushalayim, which Har HaZeisim, V'nifka Har HaZeisim, Nechetzioi, Mizrocha V'yamah. Gei Gedolim, or there's going to be an earthquake. There's going to be a split from the center, Mizrocha V'yama, east, and from the east, to west. So it's going to split. Gei Gedolim, which appears to be a split down the center, separating from east, from separating the east side from the west side. It's going to be down the center. Gei Gedolim Me'oid, a very, very great valley, is going to form in the center of Har HaZeisim. Umosh means to melt. Chatzi Ha'har Tzofayna, the Chetzioi Negba. Mosh, now I'm not sure if I'm using the word mosh correctly, because different translations. Here he says not melt. Here he translates to mean Hasara, be removed. It will be removed, half of the mountain, northward, and half southward. Let's read another pasuk. Vinastem gei harai. Vinastem means it will melt.
No.
Miloshim nisa to run, to flee, to flee, to flee, to flee, to flee. Okay, to flee. Gei. Okay, so I made a mistake. Vinastem means to flee. Gei harai, the valley of my mountain. Ki agia gei horim el otsa. It's going to reach. Now, all this very, very missing, which requires a lot of bearing in the farshim, which we'll do the best that we can. The valley between the mountains is going to be so long, it's going to reach to the place of Otsal. This is the name of a place. We don't have over here in the Alderch Pshat any deep significance of what this word means. Simply means it's the name of a location from Otsal. V'nastem, it will flee. Kashel nastem b'bnei Horash b'bnei Uziyah melech Yehudim. Now this is a very big deal. It was a massive earthquake, which was a game changer in Jewish history in the time of Uziyah, melech Yehuda. When this earthquake occurred in the time of Uziyah, which we have to review the details in the Farshim, why we are tracing this event to that moment. Okay, we'll see that. Uvo Hashem Elokai kol kidoshim imach, and Hashem will arrive on that day, all of his holy ones with him. What does that mean? Malachim, Tchias HaNesim, we'll see. V'hoyim yemohu lo ye'or, there will not be light. Yikorois v'kipo'oim, there will not be, yikorois v'kipo'oim, yikorois means light, it's another word for light, and kipo'oim is a word for darkness. On this day, there will not be light, there will be no light, and there will be no darkness. It sounds like some science fiction movie, right? Apocalypse. Something over here is going to happen, very, very significant, where there's going to be this massive split in Har HaZeisim, forming a valley, and the mountains on the sides are going to flee. They're going to take up human characteristics and run, and it's going to spread from one end to the other, which we're defining here, Otsal. It's going to be similar to the earthquake that occurred in the time of Uziyah Melech Yehuda. Hashem will then appear with all of his holy ones, and on this day there will be no light and no darkness. What is all of this mean? Remember the first Rashi, in the first Rashi in Zechariah. You think you know what these psukim mean? You are mistaken. This, all of the words, all of the Sefarim of Tanakh, we're learning the most abstract, esoteric, mystical, obscure, that's the good word, the right word, obscure verses in the entire Nevi'im, Sifrei Nevi'im. So Rashi says, everything about this Sefer from beginning to end is sosum. It's not like Daniel, where everything is very easy, except for a few psukim here and there, those are mysterious. But everything is pretty straightforward. The whole Sefer, from beginning to end, is sosum, is obscure. And certainly, this takes the cake. This takes the cake to understand what this means about the coming Moshiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu arriving and HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing on Har HaZeisim and the splitting. This is over the top. Okay, so Mishnah tomorrow. Oh, Givaldi. Unbelievable, right? That's our message saying from the Haggadah. Lo yoyim v'lo laila. Fantastic. Okay, so this Mishnah, we'll do this tomorrow, we'll do more tomorrow. And now we're going to tackle the subject of a very short break. And then we're going to talk about, today is a very important day in Jewish history. Today is Chof Sivan. Today is a fast day. traditionally for since 1648, it was a very significant day of mourning for the massacre of Polish Jewry, of approximately, no one has an exact number, even all the historians, they still struggle to come up with a precise number, or an accurate number of how many people were actually murdered. And the numbers go, the numbers probably go like from 50,000 to 500,000. I think the consensus today among the historians is there was approximately about 100,000. Approximately 100,000 Jews were brutally murdered in the Ukraine, Crimea. A lot of action today is happening in Crimea today with Russia, and Turkey, we'll resume in 1 minute. 1 minute, we'll want to talk about a couple of things about the significance of today. Okay, we'll be back in a second.